Begin transmission. Hello, everybody. It is Star Raptor once again, joined by Milton and Ben. This is Outer Rim Transmission number 23. On this week's episode, we're going to go over the rumors that are swelling around the Book of Boba Fett. Plus, we have a new trailer for the latest Star Wars VR game. And we also have some really cool stuff to get into when it comes to audio productions in Star Wars. That's right, we're going to be talking about audio dramas, audiobooks, and even the radio plays for Star Wars. So, first off, how you doing, Ben? How's good, Madden? Good. Give us an update on all that. You know, it's like the weekly Madden updates here.
It's turning into the Outer Rim Madden podcast. But, it's been going good. Just grinding away, going about Super Saiyan level of rage on the game sometimes, but pretty good on the Madden front, and you know, and had that. And then other than that, you know, this week I didn't really have too many like this week in Star Wars like moments, nothing too crazy. You know, just mainly just the basics, like me and one of my friends who are always, you know, in the chat on here, you know, the other night we talked about different things, Star Wars things, until like, I don't know, we probably talked for like an hour and a half talking about different theories and ideas and whatnot. So, you know, that was probably my main thing for this week in Star Wars, you know, just really getting a good, you know, it's just good having Star Wars, you know, to be able to talk to people and socialize. Like, right. it's a fun thing, you know, to have with your friends to talk about.
Yeah. What about you, Milton? How was your week?
It was good, man. Like I said, always busy and productive, especially with my job. But no, I guess my week in Star Wars, I went to a baseball game last Sunday with some friends. And we grew up together. And out of that group of five of us, three of us really like Star Wars. The one guy really doesn't really like it that much because he's not really into that stuff. But like we discussed it, and I will say I had a little epiphany. My buddy is still convinced that, like, you know, that he loves The Last Jedi and The Rise of Skywalker actually wasn't that bad. And I did actually have a rational conversation with him about those movies and what parts I actually liked about them. But again, I'm not a huge fan of the sequel trilogy. However, because we're fans and actually we are adults, we talked it out like rational adults and we made our points, you know. And like Ben said, it's nice to have those conversations with your friends, whether you agree or disagree. And of course, there's banter back and forth. And of course, I'm going to be that guy that's going to say, hey, Luke needs to be wrecking shop everywhere. But then once you take a step back, you understand that how the character was trying to be developed. And again, we had a good conversation about that during our baseball game.
That's the thing, right? Yeah. Go ahead, Ben.
That's one of the best parts about it is, like, you know, you can talk about Star Wars anywhere, whether it be on the phone, on the way to a baseball game, at a baseball game, like no matter where you are, like, you know, whatever it may be. And especially like you bringing up talking civilly to your friends about The Last Jedi and The Rise of Skywalker and you know, put, you know, movies that you aren't huge fans of. But even with that, like, you know, you can still find something to talk about. And that's something a lot of people online forget about, because like, you know, if I would go to Twitter and just type, I love the sequels, I'll get a million people like blasting me. And then if I say I hate the sequels, I'll get a million people blasting me. And it's like, why can't we just talk about why we like or don't like, you know, allow people to have certain opinions? Like, you know, for me, I'm not a huge fan of them, but like The Last Jedi, you know, I'll stand to it. I think the best line of the sequel trilogy pretty much is the whole conversation where Luke's talking about Darth Sidious in Last Jedi. Yeah. Like, I love that scene so much. Like, him just hearing Luke say Darth Sidious, best moment of the sequels, in my opinion. I loved it. You know, you can find, you know, good things in dark places, I guess I would say. So, you know, that's one of the best parts about it is, you know, finding that stuff with your friends.
Absolutely. And another positive thing, though, too, like, it's just, especially with your friends like that, I'll get random texts from my friend who I discussed this with. Just last night, I was laying on the couch, like, half asleep, and my phone goes off, and he texts me. Now, mind you, this guy's a principal for a middle school, okay? And he still plays video games, you know? And he's like, 9:32 at night. It's, oh my God, I just fought Vader in Fallen Order. So badass. Like, that's what's so nice about Star Wars, is that all your buddies who were all, like, we're in our early 30s, And it's like, we can still have good moments like that. I'm just going to text my buddy, hey, oh my God, you need to play Fallen Order, or hey, this part was tight. And he knows I haven't played it yet. So that's why he was letting me know, like, you got to get this game eventually.
Yeah.
It's nice to connect with your friends on that level, just a random text. Hey, I just wrecked Darth Vader. It was awesome. You got to play it, you know? And it's cool.
Yeah, Ben, we got to get more updates on your Jedi Fallen Order playthrough over here already.
Oh yeah, but, well, my EA Play expired, so we'll get back to that at some point.
Right.
All right. Well, you know, you're talking about just how it is in person, and I think that's the key, right? Like, you go online, you got this invisible wall between you and the other person on the other side of the globe. Yeah. So there's that certain, like, I can write hate stuff about you all day long and there's going to be no repercussions. Whereas when we're in person and we actually come across those people where they have a differing opinion, that's the interesting thing, because most of the time I think people are going to be more rational in those conversations. They're not going to sit there and be like, you're wrong, yada, 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 because, hey, you got to deal with the ramifications and the consequences of being in front of that person, and they might not be so nice. So it's good to be able to kind of diplomatically have that conversation in person, eye to eye, you know?
And that's the thing, my friends and I and Ben, both of you guys probably relate to this. I think we're all pretty much sports fans in this podcast as well. But, like, I can talk about top five basketball players, quarterbacks, whatever, and we can go back and forth. We've done it since we were kids, and there's been some scream-out matches we've had. I can do the same thing with Star Wars. There are things about Star Wars that they love that I don't enjoy, or vice versa. And we can go back and forth, but at the end of the day, I'm going to talk to you like an adult. I might yell at you like an adult, but it's not in any malicious, hateful way like you would get on the internet. And like you said, Chris, that invisible wall with no name or no face, it's easy to be super hateful. But let's be real here. If someone tried to walk up to me on the street and say that, oh, Milton, you're an idiot for liking, you know, Dagobah, you know, I'd be like, you ain't going to really – they're not going to step to me like that because they see my face. So a lot of times it's false bravado when all these people are hating on the internet.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Well, I think a lot of people forget when they get into that, like, internet discourse. Like, for me, you know, as you said, Milton, you know, we're sports fans and things. Mm-hmm. So I always view a lot of the Star Wars talk like you would, like on the show ESPN First Take. Like, you know, it's a debate show. Like, you know, before the show, the hosts shake hands and they're like, hey, you know, let's go at it. And, you know, they can debate and they're still good with each other. Like, you know, so that's the important thing I think fans of, like, Star Wars and movie franchises in general, you know, need to remember. Like, hey, we're all still part of the same family here. Like, this is still something we all enjoy, whether we like certain parts of it or don't. You know, like you said, you know, one of my friends who's always on, I mean, I'm sure he'll hear me say this, but he'll just text me randomly out of nowhere, like, Rogue One's the best Star Wars movie ever. And I'm just like, you know, so, like, just stuff like that. And, you know, we just have little debates back and forth, but it's all in fun and jest. And, you know, I think that's a big thing that, you know, people just need to remember, hey, it's something we all enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about why I was almost late to recording this today. So for those of you that are unaware, there's been some crazy weather here in the Northeast.
Yep.
And I don't know if you guys had any experience with any traffic jams or anything, but literally the entrance and the exit to the highway that I need to get on to get to work was, like, completely submerged in impassable water, to the point where I had to find a detour around another detour around another detour, basically. So it was, like, a struggle. You know, a 20-minute drive took, like, almost an hour today. And I'm just happy that I made it back. And last night at work, it was basically, like, we had three tornado warnings. So every single time a tornado warning comes into play at the gym, it's got a lot of windows, so they want us to all evacuate into the locker rooms where there's no windows in case something were to shatter. So it's crazy because, like, who would ever think there'd be tornadoes in, like, central New Jersey? But, hey, that's where we are these days. So that was crazy because I had to get people to get off the fitness floor, get down below, and, of course, by the third time of doing this within 1 hour span of time, people were not so happy to go down there. So it was a little bit of stress the last couple days here. And hopefully the water gets receded because I know some people in New York City, and you see the videos of the subways are just, like, rivers and yeah. you know, Philly too. There's like, I'm gonna be going there this yep. weekend, and I'm like, okay, hopefully I don't have to take that highway to get there because that thing's like under 9 feet of water. So it's been a
You're right. Yeah. I mean, and you guys know I live in Pennsylvania, so I know exactly what Chris is talking about, because just yesterday they closed my building down at 1 o'clock to say, hey, go home and work from home. I know today actually our network was like down. So we couldn't get outside emails into my office, and hopefully they have it fixed by tomorrow morning. But like just the flooding of all the like excess water, it was crazy, man. I mean, and the highway was off the chain yesterday. So, yeah, Chris, I definitely understand why you were late for sure. Because I mean, we're still having some of those issues up here in my state, so it's crazy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But and also at work, I did have a really cool moment between me and my coworker, who's also a Star Wars fan. We all have those, you know, people, work friends, whatever. But he showed me a video that he took himself at his friend's wedding, where they literally had a lightsaber duel, him and his wife, on the dance floor. And they had ultra sabers, because he was saying, this is my friend Jack at work, he was at the wedding, he was saying that the person was a choreographer that did all their own choreography, because they do plays and drama and stuff like that, Romeo and Juliet. So this particular person had his wife doing a few things. I mean, he's the one that does most of the work, but she still did a pretty good job. And then halfway through the video, like, this other guy shows up with like a red lightsaber, and there's like a three-way, and they're playing Duel of the Fates, but it's like, holy crap, like, this thing looked professional. Like, this guy's doing like spins and right. kicks and everything else, and it was just like, man, oh man, how are you gonna top
that's awesome,
that
actually.
Like, how do you that's, top that, like, great. In the middle of the dance floor, they're just like Duel of the Fates, just craziness. The green lightsaber, red lightsaber, it looked awesome.
I'm not gonna lie, if I was at that wedding, I probably want to jump into that, because I'm like, oh, we get to play with lightsabers at a wedding, like, that'd be kind of dope. But that's what's nice though, that's the thing, like, just seeing a video like that and seeing like some fans saying, hey, this is how much we love Star Wars. We want it part of our like our special day. And they'll always remember that. And that's a beautiful thing about this franchise, is that it doesn't have to just be for movie moments. Like, you can have it in your everyday life. And hell, the most important life or time in your life to get married to incorporate Star Wars, that'd be awesome. I know. Yeah. I know if I have a kid someday, I'm probably getting him or her a onesie for like a Star Wars the moment they come out the womb. I'm like, here you go. Put this on her or him right now. Like, that's how much. That's how cool Star Wars is to me.
Yeah.
I'll probably be that dad. You know, hey, we're watching Star Wars every weekend, just because. Like, I don't know. It's just cool like that.
And another thing I do want to mention today. So I'm gonna read this verbatim from the messenger chat we're a part of. So I literally just started my run, my like 5 mile run or whatever. I was just doing. Around my job, and all of a sudden I see Ben saying like OMG fellas in caps, and I'm like, all right, what the heck's going on here? And obviously I'm running, so I just started using the voice chat feature, which I never use, but I was like, hey, this is a good time to use it. I can run and talk at the same time. So it's like, and we'll talk about the rumors later, because I don't want to spoil it for people that don't want to hear it. But basically what I'm just trying to say is like, yeah, I'm at the point where it's like, okay, if Star Wars news breaks, I just kind of make time, even if I'm in the middle of a workout, to be like, all right, what is it? What is it? Like, this is how crazy I am when it comes to stuff. I'm like, I'm going to push myself. And as you hear, like, more and more of the voicemails, I get more and more out of breath, because I'm, like, yep. having to run. And it's like, Milton's like, what's going on over there?
<It's> like, yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I was very impressed, man. Just saying, I was impressed.
So there you go. So that was our week in Star Wars. What we have going on later on in the show, of course, we're going to be talking about the Book of Boba Fett, different rumors there. We're going to be talking all about the audio of Star Wars. But first, for those of you that are watching this, we do have this on a podcast streaming server. So whatever you listen to, Apple, Google Play, Spotify, you guys can find us simply by searching Outer Rim Transmission. And if it's the other way around, if you're listening to this later on, we also do this on YouTube every Friday around 9 o'clock Eastern, and it's always available to watch after the fact on demand. So there you go. So for the releases this week, we first off have the audio drama, the first one of its kind in the High Republic. It's called Tempest Runner, written by Kevan Scott. And this is all about the character of Lorna D, who is one of the Tempest Runners, which are basically one of the leaders of the Nihil, which are the main antagonists to the Jedi and the Republic. They are like the Marauders, the type of Vikings, space Vikings, right? So what's cool about the story is it's a full cast. An audiobook and audio drama are actually very different. So an audiobook has narration. There's like inner monologues playing through the, obviously, it's just like a, it's a book, just spoken. Whereas an audio drama is literally like if they just had this as a movie and they only gave you the audio file. That's basically what it is, because there is no inner monologues or any kind of narration. It's literally just dialogue all the way through. It's basically just a play without you actually seeing what's going on. So there's all the foliage or whatever it's called, the folly or whatever it's called, with like the sound effects. You hear footsteps. You hear, of course, the John Williams original score. And just all the different actors. It's not one voice guy doing all the different characters. It really does feel like, okay, this is something like much larger and much more epic. So that came out, and it's very much like Lorna D. She's gets captured by the Republic, finally, and she's on this prison ship, which is called the Restitution, which is basically the ship that goes around the galaxy. It's a really cool idea. This ship with the prisoners actually go to these different planets that have been ravaged by war, and the prisoners are sent to go down there to basically fix things up. So what I really liked about the story, and I did actually read the whole thing. You can see my review on the channel right now. Actually, I just put it up. But it's like, okay, what happens to a character when they actually get redeemed and they don't die? Because we see that too many times in Star Wars, where it's like, yeah, I would like to see like what would happen if, you know, Ben Solo didn't die and like he would have to deal with the war crimes. That's exactly what we do with this character, Lorna D. She's very much responsible for thousands, if not millions, of deaths. So we get to see like how she is paying back the galaxy little by little to kind of recompense for all the transgressions she's had across the galaxy. So I think it's a really, really good audio drama, and it's hopefully the first of many. And since it's the High Republic, it's the first time we're hearing like any of these characters actually speak with these voice actors. So hopefully it's just the first of many things to come. Maybe they can get these voice actors to do like an animated series. I mean, we had an animated series for this thing rumored like years ago at this point, I think. So hopefully that is still in the works. But yeah, you can download Tempest Runner now. We also have two other High Republic stories in the comics. So it's been a very High Republic-centric week in everything this week in that medium. So we have the High Republic Avengers number 8. It just kind of sets up a new story arc with all of our Padawans. And the High Republic issue number 9 for Marvel also sets up a new arc. And it's all about Keeve Trennis going undercover as a Nihil agent. So it's pretty cool. Like, the Republic has these two Jedi, her and Tarek, which are just going to go undercover to try to figure out like where the eye of the Nihil is, which we know is Markion Rel. So there you have it. That's what's out this week. But for our first and really our only actual news story for this week, and this came out right at the tail end of recording this, is right before it, is Tales from the Galaxy's Edge, Last Call, had another trailer. This one actually showed us a lot more. And it does tell us that it has a September 15th release, which is crazy to me because it's literally less than 2 weeks away. So very, very good news there. But I did want to pick out a few cool things that stood out to me in this trailer. So mind you guys, this isn't a brand new game. It's more like an expansion pack to the other game. I believe it's going to be $9.99. It's on Oculus Quest. But it does have new weapons. There's a really cool First Order trooper. That's why I really like how Star Wars is always giving us like these new First Order agents. Like Resistance gave us a really couple awesome ones with not Cardinal. He's from a book, but we have the gold one. What is it? Pyre. We had Pyre. We also had the Baron guy that was the red armor. And now we have this guy that almost looks like a First Order version of a Phase 2 clone trooper. I know me and Ben kind of chatted about how cool this guy looks, because he's got this like visor that's red, but then he's got like both pauldrons. It's not just on one arm. So I'm like, all right, this is one of the things I love about Star Wars, is the variations between the different kind of troopers, you know, even little tweaks here and there, but just kind of melding like a prequel element as small as a visor onto a sequel trilogy character just like makes it look like, oh yeah, this is one actual timeline that we're working with.
Oh yeah. I mean, I love seeing little connections like that. I think it's, you know, I think those are all really, really great. You know, that's one of the biggest or one of the most fun parts about, you know, things like these, like this game specifically, or any other games or any other mediums. Like, it's cool seeing them connect little tidbits of things where, you know, it doesn't have to be like galactic implications. Like, you know, we don't have to have like, Rey and Luke and Han and Leia and all, you know, all the main characters, you know, and thrown in every little thing, like every little video game. I mean, look at like even Fallen Order, for example, you know, it's not Luke or whoever, you know, it's not anybody we know really is the main character until that game. So it's cool seeing like, you know, little things thrown in there, like, you know, just the prequel era type of look for the Stormtrooper armor. That's cool. Like, just little things like that are really neat, you know, that add up to make it, I feel like, more interesting and more, like, valuable for the fans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we also have, I'm happy they confirmed this, because they did give us a trailer before, but it didn't show us nearly as much of this stuff. We have the two High Republic tales coming back. So, we're going to get Addy Sanzi, I believe, is the Jedi Knight, and it looks like it's a completely different environment than we've been in before, so really cool stuff there. There's also a little alien creature that is like your sidekick. So I actually forget what the species is called, but you guys could probably look it up. At IG-88, you actually get to play as IG-88 in this story. And that makes me really happy, because that's a confirmation that we're getting IG-88 in the sequel trilogy. He's around there. And you know, having read the War of the Bounty Hunter comics so far, it's clearly evident that IG-88 might like go on past the sequel trilogy easily, because IG-88, and if you know him from Legends, he just like his like droid brain just like keeps replicating like different versions of himself. So like,
right,
we see Vader kill like multiple versions of him already in War of the Bounty Hunters, but like he just keeps popping up because he just keeps transferring his like data to another body. So what's really neat.
Pretty much he's the Palpatine of droids.
Yeah, basically.
I mean, antivirus software.
All right. It makes sense to me.
Yeah, but with the trailer, the gameplay they showed, it's really cool because he's got the voice, but he's also got like specific targeting. So you can see like these green reticles, like, and he just like shoot much easier because it like locks on because he's a droid. So I'm really looking forward to like playing like it's a, like as an actual bounty hunter that we all know and love as IG-88. And you got Hondo Inaka. So Hondo Inaka is making an appearance, played by the legendary Jim Cummings, of course. So there's a lot to be into when it comes to this particular expansion. It will be the last one of this game, which again makes me wonder, like, all right, why is this the last one? What are they working on now? Because, you know, they're always working on something over there at ILM X Labs. So very cool stuff there on the VR front. And again, at least this is a game coming out this year. Very disappointed still that LEGO Star Wars is not coming out this year. And we do have the expansion for the Old Republic, so we're not going to be completely dry out of games. I know there was another announcement for a game that I, quite frankly, didn't even like care about. That came out as far as like another game for a mobile device. I'm looking up. Oh yeah, LEGO Star Wars Battles coming to Apple Arcade. Okay, I don't even have an Apple device, so that's one reason why I don't care about this. And it just seems like it's one of the many, many mobile games that have come and gone with Star Wars. So
I think a lot of people are so burned by, like, what was that first mobile game they were going to release, like, right around The Force Awakens?
Oh, Uprising.
I forget. Uprising.
And I dumped so many hours in that game.
Yeah, I know people weren't really into it as much as they thought it would be. Because didn't they say it was going to be, like, part of the canon or something?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, because they did, and now they're actually taking canon elements and putting it in the novels and the comics all the time. Like, for instance, there's a bounty hunter named Deathstick, and she works for the Crimson Dawn. She's, like, basically, like, the lead, like, mercenary for Kira. She's the one that's going around taking on all the agents and all that. So you have her, but then you also have Governor Adelhard, who is the guy that was like the main villain of the Uprising game. And he is the governor that's in charge of the Anuet sector, which comprises of like Bespin and Hoth and all that. And he's the one that like blockaded all of that after the Emperor died. So like, it's pretty cool because like they're still like giving us those nuggets of a story that just they gave up with. Because like, I grinded that game because there's so much grinding in that game. Like, I was grinding that game every day doing those missions. And like, it was annoying because like, yeah, they focus so much on the story. Like, oh, this game's gonna have story, it's a mobile game. But like, you would get like one line of dialogue every like seven times, like doing the same level. Like, it just wasn't progressing nearly fast enough to even be interested. And I guess it just pulled the plug one day.
Yeah, I mean, and that goes back to my personal grief with how video games were handled over the last, what was it, 6 years now since Lucasfilm was taken over by Disney. Just because I feel like that's been their weakest department has been the video game part of it. Like, whether it's the original Battlefront, some of the mobile games. I mean, again, Fallen Order has really, I mean, stepped his game up, and people really love that game. And it was it Rogue Squadrons? Is that the other one?
Squadrons.
Squadrons or something. That's been pretty well received, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so like, and in the Darth Vader VR. So, I mean, yeah, they've had some hits. However, there's been a lot of misses. And I think with the mobile games, for sure, I think they need to go back to the drawing board and come up with a game that's really going to be immersive and tell a story that we all want to participate in.
Yeah, see, that's the thing, though. I don't know if the mobile platform is really for that, because the way I look at it is like, you get like, for me, like you get like bite-sized time, right? Like, most people are on their mobile for like, oh, I can play for like 2 minutes while I'm waiting in line, and then I have to put the phone away. Like, you don't really have people that are sitting there on the couch for like 3 hours playing game for its story. If they wanted to do that, they would just play on the console or on a PC. So I think like this game obviously doesn't look like there's any story at all, and I really don't think there should be when it comes to those games, because it's just,
I agree.
Yeah, I think they tried it that one time and they're like, never again.
Well, you see, I've always had the idea of, they need to make a mobile game, you know, say it's not canon just so they can do whatever with it, but they need to make a mobile game. I'm not sure if either of you ever played Pokemon Go over the last like four or 5 years that it's been out. They need to make a game like that where you're like a Jedi and, you know, make it interactive with the environment like Pokemon Go does. And, you know, be like, you're, instead of the Pokemon you're finding, find like Kyber crystals, find weapons, whatever. And then still have like an arena thing. Like, you know, in Pokemon Go, you can battle other users to like get awards and different things and rank. And like, so you could still have like a battle, like with me versus another random person. But then when you open up the app, like have it be where your character, like your little Jedi's, like, you know, walking around different environments like Pokemon Go does. You know, you can see like trees or mountainous areas or rivers or whatever. Like, do it like that. But in Star Wars, like, have, you know, when you open the app, make it be like Endor, or, you know, if you're in a, you know, use the geolocation on your phone, like, you know, if you're in a hot area in the country, make it be Mustafar on there or something, you know, something like that. And like, be hunting Kyber crystals, like, do that. And then that, you know, that'd be something Star Wars fans could play. You could play it in, you know, like you said, Chris, in 2 or 3 minutes standing around in line, boom, there you go. And I feel like something like that could work.
It very well could. And like you said, it's like, like a lot of these different game franchises, I know Witcher just came out with like Monster Hunter, which is basically the same exact thing as Pokemon Go. I know there was like a Harry Potter version of this. So it's like
Walking Dead.
Yeah, it's like, do they jump on that bandwagon? Is it already too late? Is that train already left the station as far as like the popularity of that sort of game? So that's why I think we're still getting things like a Lego mobile game, because hey, that's probably a pretty safe bet and it's not gonna like tick too many people off, I don't think.
Yeah.
But we did get some really cool news, and that's what I was referencing earlier in the show during our week in Star Wars with that whole conversation me and Ben were having while I was running. So if you guys don't want to know anything about the Boba Fett series coming out this December, it might be a good time to just maybe fast forward this maybe 20 or 30 minutes before we start talking about the audio stuff. But we did get a pretty tantalizing, some pretty tantalizing details about what's actually the purpose of this Boba Fett's show. So do you want to tell us what exactly that article said, Ben?
Yeah, well, first of all, I for sure, want to give a shout out to Star Wars News Net, because I know today they were really dealing with a lot of stuff. I'm not sure if either you guys saw, but there were a lot of outlets like just taking their headline and not even crediting them as a source. So, you know, shout out to Star Wars News Net for breaking this like little rumor slash scoop. So pretty much what they found out was, you know, again, they said it's as of right now, they want it classified as 100% confirmed, but it's from one of their very reliable sources, you know, so it would fall under the rumor category technically. So basically what they found out was that the Book of Boba Fett, basically the main storyline of the show is Boba seeking revenge on all of the people that have wronged him in his past. And that's pretty much the main nugget from their article. So, yeah, or basically a revenge tour.
I love it. I love the idea. And, you know, like you guys mentioned during the group chat today, you guys were talking about it. I chimed in. I said, I love that idea. It makes sense. And you guys brought up a lot of good points in our conversation. And that's where I go back to, because I think some of you guys mentioned like the idea of like Kira stepping mm-hmm. into the show eventually, or like maybe Cad Bane or showing up, because we all know from that particular unfinished animation how Cad Bane and Boba had that interaction. I suggested at least a young Han Solo, just because Han was the one that technically hit him into the Sarlacc pit with the, you know, and he fell, and you know, we all thought he died. So Han Solo, you would think, would be on that list. You know, and this is only 5 years post Return of the Jedi, this particular world where we're in when it comes to Mandalorian and Book of Boba Fett. So whether we talked about this last week with the whole CGI stuff and all that type of Photoshop or, excuse me, deep fake stuff, could they bring back Harrison Ford to be young Han Solo? Could they bring Alden Ehrenreich as that Han Solo character and just morph his face with Han Solo's face? I don't know. But it would make sense if Han's in the show, for at least for an episode or two, if this is a revenge tour for sure. This is rumor. I know that. But StarWars.net's pretty damn good about breaking stories. They're pretty much very reliable for the most part about their stories and the rumors that they get out there. So yeah. I do trust it.
Yeah. So I think this would be an awesome premise for a Boba Fett show, because when I think of Boba Fett, especially after like reading the recent comics he's been in, he is a badass guy. It's no nonsense. Like, he's got a job. He wants to do it. He wants to execute that to the best of his abilities. He's very loyal to his bounties and what he's given missions for. He follows through to the best he can. But, like, he's also got a lot of ruthlessness about him. And this is, like, the Boba Fett we've known before. Now we know the Boba Fett now Mandalorian is a little bit different. But still, I like the idea that, like, when you think of Boba Fett, you think about this guy in action all the time. He's taking on fellow bounty hunters like we see him currently in the comics. So this screams Boba Fett to me. And I don't know if there's, like, a better, like, generalized plot that could be involved with Boba Fett. So I'm down for this. Yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure. I think I totally agree with you on that. I think there's so many directions they can go with it. And, you know, here's the thing to throw out there as well, guys. Remember, Collider a couple months ago reported this is kind of Mando season 2.5. So it makes me wonder, is part of Boba Fett's revenge tour, actually, I just thought of this right now, but is part of Boba Fett's revenge tour, are we going to see him take out Cobb Vanth because he was pissed that he was in his armor? Like, you know, because if it's Mando season 2.5 and then the Boba Fett revenge is the plot, who wronged Boba in Mando season 2? The only person really would be Cobb Vanth, right. Kind of. So,
kind you know, of. I see that, but then, like, I thought they told that backstory of how he got the armor, though.
I mean, he got it from Jawas, basically.
Yeah.
Though.
Yeah.
So,
but
go ahead.
My main take on that, just to finish up the Cobb Vanth point, is maybe it's just the whole thing of what if we get into the first episode of this show and Boba's out and about in his armor and, you know, pretty much people view him as like soft or something, you know, and he's like, well, let me go take this guy out that basically smeared my name in the mud. Right. And, you know, maybe they go along that line. Oh, and also, It did mention in that article, just to throw out there as well, he will be in the new armor, the his new like new paint job arm, like the new armor we saw in Mando season 2.
Right.
Yeah.
They did mention that.
People have been speculating like the reason why they actually like made his armor whole and without the bullet hole, the blaster bolts and all that, is to differentiate between flashbacks and current times, because it's like a very easy for your eyes to like understand like where we are currently in the timeline. So that really does track pretty well if we are. But I think it was like Latino Review or something that did mention it's gonna have the flashbacks, or actually it wasn't even them, like literally Temuera Morrison came out.
I'll say
like,
Temuera Morrison said that. Yeah.
He was like, oh yeah, there's gonna be flashbacks to like Empire Strikes Back and stuff. It's like, oh, okay, cool. Thanks for the info, dude.
Like, I can't wait. I cannot wait. And here's the thing, like, you know, Temuera Morrison's what, in his 50s, or at least almost 60, I think.
Yeah, he's 50s.
So
yeah.
And of course they're gonna use probably some CGI to young him up a little bit. But what's nice is he's scarred up, so you can kind of hide his age too, because I think technically Boba Fett in this particular timeline, he's got to be what, in his or mid to late 40s.
I think technically. So Return of the Jedi, I'm pretty sure canon wise, I think he's 43 in Return of the Jedi is what it is. So he'd be about 48 or 50, close to
48, 50. So that makes sense. Yeah. And again, they can young him down a little bit, but again, and you know he's going to come in like hellish shape, because you know they're going to show Boba Fett that's wrecking shop at this point, since he's on his revenge tour, quote unquote. And also too, in the flashbacks, they're going to want to show how ruthless he was and how agile and badass he was as a bounty hunter. So I'm interested to see what shape he comes in and how physical he will be in this particular show. Because I think they're going to do it right, and I think we won't see his face as much in this particular show. I think they'll make a point to keep the mask on him a lot more. Kind of like that they did in Mando, but they'll show his face here or there. I mean, because they already let the surprise out. But I think it'd be very nice for them to keep the mask on as much as they can, so we can still get that memory of, okay, that's the Boba Fett that we know of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think he'll have his mask off much either, Milton, just because, you know, if you think about it, when he falls into the Sarlacc pit, you know, we really never see him just casually walking around without his mask on. So, you know, when he came out of the pit and like the Mando verse, I guess, they you know, no one knew it was Boba Fett like roaming around. Like, mm-hmm. I'm sure people just thought, oh, just some like bum or whatever. So, you know, now that he's got his suit back on, it's like, hey, there you go. Like,
and let's be real here, for normal people who's not hardcore Star Wars fan, who, let's say they never saw Attack of the Clones and they didn't realize that Boba Fett is a clone of Jango Fett. So they may not think like, well, who's Temuera Morrison? You know, who is this guy? They probably won't put a name to a face or a name to that character, face to that character. So that could still be a surprise for a lot of new fans that are watching it. And then they say, oh, let me go back and watch Attack of the Clones and then watch some Clone Wars and then watch Mandalorian, you know, that type of thing. You know, it's just cool to try to keep that consistency, you know. I don't know. Just a thought.
Yeah, I'm just very curious about why is he doing this now? And this also just goes back to Mandalorian. I guess one of the reasons why we're going to get this show is like, what was Boba Fett doing that whole 5 years between him getting out of Sarlacc and him just like chilling on Tatooine wearing Tatooine weaponry and stuff like that? Like,
I know what he was doing. He was on Lian Yu with Oliver Queen for those 5 years, you know, just like he was in Arrow. Yep. Because Arrow, he's on the island for 5 years. So, takes place 5 years after, you know, Return of the Jedi.
And we were literally drawing a comparison earlier, like, oh, this seems just like season one of Arrow. Like, he's got that, like, little notebook. He's just crossing off names, you know, as he's going along.
Slade Wilson showed up on a Tatooine. Oliver saw him later. He's like, let's come back to Lian Yu with us. You know, hey, man, it's all one big happy family.
Oh, yeah. I think the whole revenge thing is going to be so cool with it. Like, it is, now that you say that, it is really Arrow season one-esque, like, because I would love to see a straight-up list, though. Like, I would I would love so much for Boba to go into the Slave One, and it is called the Slave One, in my opinion, but I would love for him to go into the Slave One, open up his, like, a hologram or whatever, and it had, like, literally just a list of names, like, you know.
It'd just be murdering people left and right.
Yeah, or profiles of, you know, profiles of targets or something. Yeah. Like, something like that would be amazing. And here's my thing with it. You know, there's so many directions they can go with this, just because I have a feeling, let's say, you know, since we haven't heard it's going to be six episodes, I'm guessing it's probably going to be eight, like Mando, if I had to guess. So my thing is, the first episode, he's probably going to deal with some low-level crime person we've never heard of before, you know, just to basically, it's like the warm-up fight. Like, you know, it's basically the warm-up episode. And then I feel like we're going to progress to more of a character like Bossk or something, where, you know, it'll be a step up. And then maybe we'll deal with him for a couple episodes. And then, you know, I feel like the show's going to keep progressing, as we were talking about earlier, Chris, almost like a video game. Like, your levels are basically going to be getting kind of harder. So, you know, I feel like after Bossk, you know, there's also been rumors of like a Wookiee bounty hunter out there. Like, so, you know, I feel like we could maybe deal with that at some point. It's the, I can't think of the name.
Black Chrysanthemum from Dr. Aphra.
Yep.
Oh, yep, if we see him, yep, that's going to be so awesome.
There are different rumors out there about like set photos of like costumes of his costumes. So, you know, there's potential of that. And then, you know, I feel like he'd deal with those bounty hunter, like lower level tier bounty hunters. And then I think it's going to keep progressing till we get to a point where it's either going to be, you know, we could get Kira at some point. Then again, I feel like Kira might end up being a season two character, because it's not, you know, like these shows have really wanted to like almost hit home runs. Like Kira, don't get me wrong, Kira's a home run, but like Cad Bane, home run. Like I feel like, you know, going off the different stories we heard, you know, we're going to work up to like a duel with Cad Bane, and just seeing him in live action will be insane.
Can't wait.
And then, you know, after that, I, you know, what if we get to the very end of season one of Book of Boba, and like, it's, they don't show any pictures or anything, but what if it's just some type of a like message he gets about some Jedi, like, you know, missing Jedi or whatever.
What?
And, you know, and he flies away, like something like that. Like, what if we end up, because my biggest thing with Boba Fett is I feel like it's an inevitable we're getting Mace Windu. Like, I know I sound like a broken record. I've said this for years, but the thing is,
yeah,
it's the biggest part of Revenge. Like, he's had it in his character. I mean, look, especially because Filoni and Favreau are on board. Look, Filoni was a part of the whole Boba Fett trying to take out Mace in the Clone Wars. Like, so my thing is, I think we're going to eventually lead up to that, whether it be season one or two, because if his character is getting based in Revenge, I think it all leads to Mace Windu, because all of Boba's problems in life has pretty much stemmed back to Mace killing his dad.
Dude.
Right. Go ahead, Chris.
No, it just dawned on me. Like, if I'm looking at what Lucasfilm has been putting out concerning content with Mace Windu, we haven't had content with Mace Windu in literally years. The last Mace Windu thing we've gotten was, I believe, a 5-issue miniseries called Jedi of the Republic, Mace Windu. That was back in, I think, 2017. But so far this year, we've gotten the Mace Windu book. One of the first Legends Essential books was a Mace Windu book that I happened to listen to called Shatterpoint, and that thing was awesome. So we got that, and then IDW is putting out two Mace Windu centric, like Star Wars adventure stories out next month and a month after. So to me, it seems like Lucasfilm always kind of like ramps up with the publishing, like if there's going to be a big character reveal. So Book of Boba Fett, this would be the best chance for it, because it looks like they are trying to put Mace Windu back in a limelight here. Like, okay, let's give the fans some Mace Windu content to kind of warm them up and get their minds thinking about Mace Windu, and then we'll have them in the show.
All right.
Yeah, well, one more thing to throw out there before Milton. You know, also to throw in there, so Book of Boba filmed, from what most people reported, it was filming for like 7 or 8 months. And, you know, it just stopped, it just ended filming a couple months ago. So that means it was filming at the tail end of last year, or, you know, late fall, somewhere in there. So the thing is, during that time frame, Samuel Jackson, back in like December, posted a thing, and it was like a picture of him, just a picture of him. It was for like a charity thing or something, but it was like with a picture of like Jango Fett's helmet on his shirt. And then like his very last hashtag in the post was like, this party's not over yet or something, or what? Or whatever the hashtag was. It was back in December of last year. I remember seeing it and was like, what the heck? Mm-hmm. And like, you know, all the comments below the post were like, what's going on here? And that's what made me think at the time was like, man, are we getting Mace Windu in the Mando finale? You know, we didn't know about Book of Boba. So, right. You know, I was like, man, are we getting him in there? It's like, maybe Mace, if they would go the Mace route, maybe this was getting filmed at the end of last year. None of us even knew it.
Which would be one hell of a secret, which, you know, Star Wars is good at doing that when they want to. So I'm going to use some wrestling terms. So, like, I think the best way to introduce, you know, Mace, because I think Chris makes a good point about all this content that we've gotten to build him up. Because in wrestling, if you have a baby face, which is a good guy, you always want to build him up. And you have to find, like, the heel bad guy to fight him or her to, like, you know, try to chase the title. But then usually when a baby face is getting over the top and fans start to hate them, you got to figure out a way to turn them to be hated again so you can build them up once again. I think in this matter, I think the best way to introduce Mace Windu into the Book of Boba Fett is to make him the heel or the bad guy. Make him that figure that's been out of the picture for 20-plus years since his apparent death. Maybe he somehow figured out that Boba is around wrecking shop or whatever, and he's trying to take him down. Maybe he feels like, you know what, it's Jango's fault that the clones, you know, helped bring down the Republic and the Jedi, and that maybe Mace wants to eradicate that bloodline. So he knows he has to get rid of Boba Fett. And maybe he's like pulling the strings behind, you know, the scenes or something. But that'd be the way I'd bring him in, because I'd want him to, like, at least like the last scene of like Book of Boba Fett season one, of like, let's say Boba stops the actual bad guy, quote unquote, that season, but really he flies off, and all of a sudden some guy walks out in a robe with like a metallic arm with a scar on his face, and it's Samuel Jackson, and his lightsaber cranks on. You're like, oh my God, season two is going to be fire. You know, like, I don't know. That'd just be cool for him to be the main bad guy for, like, especially for season two, even though he was manipulating season one, if that makes sense. I don't know. That's the way I would bring him in, because I don't want to make him a hero. I think you want to build Boba Fett as that hero of his own show take on Mace Windu. And maybe Mace Windu is just like, you know what? The Jedi were dogmatic. That's why we fell. You know, the clones, this the clones' fault. You know, Palpatine maybe was right. You know, that whole bunch of stuff. You never know.
Well, you know? Milton, I think they're already starting to kind of sow the seeds of potentially something along those lines. Like, you know, let's just keep digging down the Mace rabbit hole for a minute here. Think about it this way. They changed Boba Fett's ship to, well, kind of changed it to Boba Fett's starship. Mm-hmm. You know, they made him kind of a more likable character in Mando season two.
Right.
And I feel like they're going to make him more of a, like, sure, he'll be ruthless and stuff, as they said. I mean, Robert Rodriguez literally said all killer, no thriller. So, right. Or no filler. I mean, so, you know, I feel like with those things, I think they're going to start making Boba Fett almost a sympathetic character where, absolutely, like, us as the audience is going to get to know him more. Like, sure, he may not have his helmet off. We're not going to see him, like, going home and, you know, kissing the wife and kids and hanging out. But it's going to be, you know, we're going to make it where it's something along those lines of making him a sympathetic character. Yeah. Like, maybe even, I'm telling you right now, I mean, this is a prediction in, you know, beginning of September, so we're a long way away. But if we get a point in the show where Boba has a conversation with any character whatsoever about how he feels about losing Jango, we are 100% getting Mace Windu. Like, because, you know, that'll be like them trying to connect us to Boba, like to humanize Boba after losing Jango. I feel like that'll be an automatic tell that we're getting Mace.
Right. Well, what they can pull from, and even I'm thinking about this right now, and we'll get into the audiobook stuff later. I'm thinking of the, oh my God, the New Jedi Order books, I think, or the, the Legacy of the Force books, because Boba Fett is heavily in those particular books, and he talks about his dad, and he talks about, like, how his body's starting to fail him because he was, like, the original clone, and he brings up memories of his father, Jango. So, yeah, I can see them cherry-picking from those legend materials to interweave his connection or lack thereof with his father or whatever with his father, and then that could trigger the Mace Windu cameo or even, you know, bigger in season two.
I could see that happening. Hey, they already name dropped Jango in the first appearance of Boba Fett, basically. So, hey, there you go. It's not out of the realms of possibility, but nonetheless, it's great that we're finally getting some kind of concrete speculation theories out of this show, because up until now, we've just been getting a couple character reveals, but we're still not really 100% sure of what's happening. But now we have a better idea, and now this is when the fun begins, because now it's like, okay, the fans start speculating what could or who could show up.
Right.
Here's one thing to throw out there too, guys. Okay, what if Boba, I mean, because Cad Bane kind of taught him, like, you know, Boba's kind of part of his crew when he was a kid. What if we get to a point in the season, what if Cad Bane isn't really in the season until like the last episode? And what if it has to, you know, do with maybe, you know, Boba knows Cad Bane's good at tracking Jedi down, and he, you know, we potentially get a Boba Cad Bane team up trying to find Maze.
Oh my gosh. So it's not like they haven't done that already, because there was a Darth Maul comic book miniseries where he was helping out Maul trying to track down a Jedi.
Yep.
Just very interesting. So this is just the first of our discussions, or many discussions about the Book of Boba Fett. And you guys, of course, can look forward to us reviewing each and every episode here when those episodes do start to come out sometime in December. And I'm hoping that we get some kind of trailer the next couple weeks, maybe. There's a couple conventions coming around, but we know Disney's doing their own event too in November. So we shall see. And what you're all here for, at least what the title is audio productions in Star Wars. So I thought this was a suitable kind of topic for tonight, because we did have, as I mentioned, the Tempest Runner audio drama that came out this week. Fantastic. So we're going to just kind of dive into just a general discussion about our experiences with the audiobooks, with our audio, with the audio dramas. I know Milton and Ben have listened to the radio plays. So I believe the radio plays, guys, were probably the first official Star Wars production I would think of, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would say yes, just because I think even as you listen to them, I mean, it's great quality and like the music's awesome. It doesn't have a lot of that prequel music in it yet, because they were all made, what, in 80 something and 90 something. Yeah. So it's very much old school radio drama techniques being used, you know, the exaggeration, a lot of the exaggerations of like being done, which was, I think it's for that particular trilogy was perfect. But yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, so yeah, go ahead, Ben.
Oh no, I was just gonna say, yeah, I mean it was to my knowledge, it was the first like Star Wars audio anything, really. And you know, like you said, Milton, they released A New Hope and Empire in the 80s, and then Return of the Jedi wasn't until like, you know, 96. Like 95 for 96. Yeah. Like it was 13 years later.
Right. Now, I'm trying to think, though, if Splinter of the Mind's Eye, was that done on audiobook? Because if so, I haven't listened to that yet.
Oh, that could be true.
I'm not sure. Mm.
Yeah, because that book was made, what, in 80-something? Because that was technically like that, I guess, the original 80, sequel.
Would it be 1980? I think Empire. No, it'd be like 1979 or something.
Yeah, no, Splinter's the Mind Eye was 79, I'm pretty sure, because that was basically their, you know, fail plan if A New Hope failed. Yep. So, yep. You know, it would have been 79.
So I don't know if they made an audiobook for that yet. If they have, sure. I mean, I need to listen to it. But that might be the first one, but I would say the radio dramas for now are.
So I want to show you guys something cool. I mentioned this in the chat earlier. I found this really cool cassette tape, which has been always of an interest to mine. I never actually listened to it, but this here, I don't know if you guys have ever seen it. It's called The New Rebellion by what's the name of the author here? Christine Catherine Rusch. So I was always obsessed with this because it looks so dark for Star Wars. Like there's like a skull there, but then it's like our characters after Return of the Jedi from the looks of it. So I mean, this just sparked my imagination so much, and like I've never actually you know, listen to it or anything. I mean, for those of you that are watching, you might not have ever even seen one of these before. So this is a cassette tape.
Like, yep, that's a tape.
It's funny. My car actually still takes these things, and I have it hooked up to an auxiliary cord thing to listen to my podcast on the go. But yeah, I mean, this is pretty cool, and this is made back at this was published back in 1996, and this is part two. So I don't even know how many parts would be in these audiobooks because I mean, the audiobook, like for instance, Shatterpoint was about 14 hours long, which, man, that's long compared to the audio drama I just experienced, which was about just about 6 hours long. So I'm sure these things kind of range in length. But how long were the radio plays?
So I believe the first one is 6 hours.
Because that's the one I actually just finished that up last week. I forgot to mention that. But yeah, I finished that up. That's like 5:58. It's almost 6 hours.
Yeah, and then Empire is 4 hours, and then that's 4 hours and 22 minutes, and then Return of the Jedi is 3 hours and 13 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, why do you guys like the radio dramas? What stands out from you? What do you get from the radio dramas that you don't get from any other kind of medium of Star Wars, would you say?
Well, when it comes to the... Again, we're just talking about the original trilogy radio dramas here. So when it comes to those, I think we get a little more context about, especially with New Hope, we get a little more backstory with like Leia, Bail Organa, their roles within the rebellion, how they were pretty much playing both sides of being part of the Galactic Empire, but also like creating the rebellion or at least assisting them. So it was cool seeing that, seeing how, you know, Obi-Wan or Ben was, you know, communicating with Luke and trying to be still involved with Luke's life and getting more character development from Luke. And it's nice listening to these audio dramas because you get taken back to that story. You feel like you're a part of it. You know, yes, I can watch the film and really engage, but listening to it and getting more of that information, I just feel part of the story, you know, and it's just cool seeing that, man, I'm still learning something new about these movies that I've seen probably 500 plus times each, you know? So that's what's cool about it. Even though these aren't officially canon, but in a lot of people's minds, this is canon. Cause like, it's still the same story. So I don't know. It's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. What I personally enjoy when it comes to these is just accessibility. And the fact that I'm able to enjoy Star Wars on a go. Most Star Wars, you have to be like sitting in front of either a TV or a monitor or whatever to experience it, or have to sit down in a chair and flip through a book. Whereas with the audio stuff, I mean, yeah, you can sit there and focus on it, but you can kind of multitask at the same time, depending on what kind of audio drama or book or whatever it is, how complex it is. So it's nice to be able to kind of experience Star Wars like driving to work or, you know, going for a run or just putting away laundry or something. Like I could just do like two different things at once and still get like my Star Wars fix and still get, you know, the epic storytelling with the music, with the different characters and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. When it comes to these, like, you know, like you said, that's one of the best parts about the audio, any of the audio mediums in Star Wars is just accessibility and flexibility. Like for me, you know, as you just said, you can multitask with it. So a lot of times what I'll do, like last week when I finished up the A New Hope audio drama, I just Bluetooth my phone to my wireless speaker, and I had that on, you know, since I was home alone, I just had that on like as loud as it could go. And when I was going in and out of the house, like, you know, when I was going in and out of the garage doing laundry, bringing laundry in, you know, cleaning this and that, you know, it was just playing and I was able to consume it that way, which is nice versus, as you said, you have to sit down in front of a monitor or a TV, or if you're reading a book, you have to sit there and read a book. you know, so you, you know, it allows you flexibility to the medium, which is nice. And I just like the fact that, you know, as you said, Milton, it puts so much context into what you're listening to, no matter what it is, no matter whether it's the original trilogy or whatever book it may be. Like if it's an adaptation of anything we've seen on screen before, it will automatically have more context than the movie. Like, actually, you know, not even just Star Wars, any franchise. Look at the Harry Potter stuff, for example. You know, everybody always says, oh, the Harry Potter books are so much better than the movies because they put in all this information about this, this, that, and the other thing. That's exactly what they do with the Star Wars audiobooks.
Right.
You know, there's so much more added in that we get than just in the movies. Like, you know, like we said, A New Hope, for example, that's like the actual movies, I think a little over 2 hours or so. And then, you know, the audio book of it, or audio drama, is almost six. So, you know, just naturally for it being that much longer, there's more context. You know, as I said before, the first hour of the audio drama is literally, you know, we're not even to the beginning of A New Hope yet. Yep. Like, you know, there's that much context, which is wild. Yeah, because
you deal with Bail Organa, Leia, Antilles. You deal with that Imperial commander who's like super old and trying to mess with Leia. You get some Darth Vader in there a little bit, but a lot of it's just Imperial stuff, like in just the rebellion. Like, that's it. And that's what's so nice about that, you know, because then it ties into, if you try to play your own headcanon, you know, you tie in Rogue One in between that story. Let's say if you try to, like, you can try to say, oh, this is where Rogue One would then probably slip in and why Leia would go off and blah, 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 blah. It's just cool to see that, oh, this is where the story would fit if it was all one, you know. It's just cool. And, like, there's no – Chris, you make a great point. Or Ben, you make a great point. Most of the films are, what, 2 hours and 15 minutes? These books are 5 hours, 4 hours. There aren't too many movies that are 4 hours long all the time. So it would be hard to sit through this. But let's be real here. We just got Zack Snyder's Justice League, but he broke that up so well. But that's only one film out of how many? So I can see why this isn't 4 hours long.
Yeah, I mean, there's only a few 4 hour movies really in history that are actually good, like really good in my opinion. Like, the Snyder Cut was great in my opinion. Loved it. I love the movie Lawrence of Arabia. I think it's excellent. Yeah. And that's, you know, like 4 hours long. It's hilarious. Like, that one, if anyone's never seen that before, you know, since it was made in like the 60s or whatever, you know, they, since it was 4 hours, they actually, halfway through the movie, there's literally, it pops up on screen. It's like brief intermission. And, you know, it's like a break if you're at the movie theater, which is so great. Like, well,
speaking of Star Wars ties with that movie, I believe Alec Guinness is in that movie.
He's the main character. Really? Actually, yeah. He's the main character. He's like a British agent. He's the main character for it, which is awesome, seeing a young Alec Guinness, younger Alec Guinness. I mean, he was still however old back then, but it was it's cool seeing the connection there. And then, hey, you know, to tie into that movie, like, all of our fellow Star Wars creators, like Lucas and, you know, even like, you know, those type of people, they all were influenced by that movie. So, like, it's cool just seeing like longer mediums be able to like be played out through, you know, like you said, it doesn't really work out too often in film. It's more of the exception than the rule. So, like, with audio, at least you can play it out so much more. Like, you know, one example of it, even in book form, I haven't listened to the audio versions, but like the Attack of the Clones book is so good. Like, it is so freaking good. I mean, I love the movie Attack of the Clones, don't get me wrong, but the Attack of the Clones book is so good because there's so many little plot threads in there that, you know, fill in certain gaps in the movie and all kinds of things. Mm. And, you know, that's what these audio dramas and audio books can do. And they can just, you know, put more context into what we're viewing on screen, or if it's not even on screen, what we're just adding into the overall canon or just overall like Star Wars consumption.
Yeah, yeah. I think,
well, you know why you like the Attack of Clones book so much? Because the audiobook is 10 hours long.
Oh, whoa. Dang. I'm definitely going to have to check that out then.
Yeah, the audiobook is 10 hours long. And that one was written by R.A. Salvatore, who is known for writing a lot of the books. You know,
that's the guy that crushed Chewie with the moon, I believe.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. But I think what the audio production really helps get the point across, or at least magnifies is the overall sound design for Star Wars.
Yes.
Like, you're seeing, or you're not seeing, you're hearing things like the iconic blasters or the lightsabers or the TIE fighter screeches or like the kind of ambiance sounds of like a space cruiser or something like that. It really does a great job of just highlighting those features of Star Wars and putting them into a different medium. So I think it's really cool how they're able to just kind of tell these stories, but continually like pulling from, hey, there's a Wookiee, I heard the Wookiee, or there's a Hutt. It sounds like Jabba the Hutt. So it very much goes in with Star Wars. It wouldn't be as impactful if it was, you know, if it wasn't Star Wars. But I feel like the audiobooks for Star Wars are just heads and shoulders taller than everything else, or higher up than everything else out there, as far as like quality wise for like sound design.
Yeah, I agree. That's why I enjoy a lot of the Star Wars audiobooks compared to normal audiobooks that's non-related to Star Wars, just because they use the classic music, sound effects, the way they blend in some of the music into like certain scenes. Like, for example, in Darth Plagueis, spoiler alert, whenever Palpatine kills his family, that scene is so powerful because you feel the drama through the audio, and the music cranks up at the perfect time, and you can visualize Palpatine, young Palpatine, crushing his father's head with the Force, doing all this other stuff. Like, it's crazy. And you're like, wow, I need to see that in a theater. You know, like, that scene is so well done. And they use prequel music for that book. So it's like, it fits perfectly. Like, I don't know who puts these books together, whatever technical teams that they have for this, but they really do a great job of going above and beyond and saying, hey, you're not going to just get music for these scenes. We're going to make it feel like it's an actual movie production that you're listening to. It's beautiful. Like, a lot of, and I'm sure we'll get into our favorite ones later, but like, if anyone's listening and watching this podcast, go check out Darth Plagueis, because you'll see what I'm talking about. It just holds up how they interfuse music from the classic and the original trilogy.
Yeah, but I want to do
prequel trilogy.
Yeah, what I want to do is I want to go back and actually listen to an audiobook of a book that I've already read, and kind of see like how it resonates now that I know the plot, if it enhances it in an audio format or not, because that's something I still have to try.
Right. Go ahead, Ben.
Oh no, I was gonna say I think it definitely can, because my main experience with that is I actually read Catalyst and then I listened to the audiobook of it. So, you know, I think the Catalyst audiobook is a million times better than the actual book itself, just for the fact of like the context and the sound design and everything. Like, you know, there's a scene where Krennic and Galen, like, it just simple things like, you know, Krennic, when he walks away, or like when he walks away, you actually hear the door go shh, like, you know, the door is shutting, like little details like that, you know, you wouldn't get from a reading experience. Like, sure, you know, you can imagine it in your head, but an actual like audiobook, they put those things like the door sounds, or like, you know, there's a scene where Krennic, you know, he's walking through like a smoky, like damaged ship or whatever. So he has a mask on, and it's cool because the voice actor who's playing Krennic, he actually, you know, sounds like he's muffled, like he has something over his face. Like, you know, just little things like that just add to the experience. I just think it's so cool.
Like, for instance, with Tempest Runner, you know, it's dealing with the Nile that have those gas masks and different things, so you could tell like when they're putting a helmet on, when they take it off, they sound differently. Obviously, just the way the droids sound, the way the droids are, like, if they're like low on power, like you can hear the droid like drawling out its sentence, you know. So it's really, really cool actually experiencing it that way. I do want to dive into, if we could get an audio drama or an audio book about a certain character in a certain era, or just a certain number of characters, ensemble, whatever, what would you guys like to see? I'll start it off. I'll say I would like this, because I don't know if we're going to get this. We had a rumor a couple weeks ago about like a Finn Jedi story. I would like to see, I would like to see, you know, Finn have an audio drama series or books about him training as a Jedi Knight or working at an academy or something like that. I think that would be pretty cool because, again, we know, like, we wanted to see more of Finn, and John Boyega would be pretty cool if he could actually get behind the mic. I know he doesn't want to. He said something about, you know, you can't Disney Plus me, but hey, what happens if we get him behind a mic if he doesn't want to do Disney Plus and get some kind of story going there? And because if you look at what we have so far for the audio dramas and books in Star Wars, it's like with the audio dramas, we have one about Dooku Jedi Lost, that's prequels. We have the High Republic one, and we have one with Dr. Aphra, which is set during like the Galactic Civil War, but we don't have one for the sequel trilogy. So out of all the sequel characters and stories, I think I would like that one the most from what I can think of right now, at least.
Yeah. I think for me, if I had to pick characters from especially sequel trilogy characters, I'll keep it there. I want to see the creation of the Knights of Ren. I know we got a comic book of that. However, I would like to see that put in an audio version. I want to see Adam Driver back as young Ben or a Ben Solo type. Clearly bring back someone who can, whether you bring back Adam Driver who voices Ben Solo or someone that sounds like Kylo Ren, or bring back an actor who can do the Snoke part. I like to see that. I like to see that put to an audio just to see like his emotion, what he's his internal conflict of what he's dealing with his family, because we get a lot of that, I believe, in a comic book, Chris, and you probably know better than me. You get a lot of that internal struggle that he has with himself and learning the truth about his grandfather from Bloodline. So yeah, I'd like to see that put in audiobook for sure.
Yeah, I would like to see, I mean, we have the Rise of Kylo Ren comic book, but maybe like give us the introduction, because when Ben stumbles upon them, the Knights of Ren have already been a thing. So how did they become a thing? Like how would they get spawned off of? I know Crimson Dawn, there is artwork put out just today. I shared it with you guys in the Messenger. As this is going, it came out. Oreo Endito is doing a variant cover that has like all five issues that connect into like one panoramic, awesome cover. And Ren is on there, and this is during the time of Return of the Jedi, basically. So it's like, okay, we know they were at least back there about 30 years prior to The Force Awakens. So how did they start? I think that's a fantastic story, because I don't think they would ever like give us a whole movie or a whole series based on that. And that's when the books and the novels and the comics, and especially audio dramas, really can fill in, because now they could take the time to kind of flesh out that story and give us at least an audio drama, like a step up above a novel. Like now we're just closed. We can close our eyes and kind of just imagine like where we are. That's why another reason why I like audio dramas, so I could just literally do what I just said and imagine what is going on, which is pretty neat because everybody's got a different kind of idea in their head, but the way they describe the things with the characters and all, it really makes it a lot easier to imagine it, I feel like, than just reading it sometimes.
Right. Totally agree.
What about you, Ben? What's your idea if you can pick an era or a character or characters?
I've really been thinking about this, so if we're playing with house money, this could be an expensive project. So if Disney, if you're listening, this is going to be pretty pricey, but it'll definitely be worth it. So what I think, you know, Milton, I'm sure you remember from the old Legends era, you know, it made me think with the Mace Windu book, the Shatterpoint book that came out, the audio book that came out, what they need to do is we need to bring in Liam Neeson, Ewan McGregor, and they need to do the whole 20 book Jedi Apprentice series of where Obi-Wan becomes Qui-Gon's apprentice, because that book series, like, don't get me wrong, it's a young reader novel, blah blah, they're whatever good. They're amazing. Like, Chris, those are books that you are gonna have to read at some point, because literally they're so good. They flesh out Obi-Wan from the time basically he's getting recruited by Qui-Gon scouting apprentices all the way up to the where they walk through the doors in the beginning of episode one. Like, you know, and it's literally a gap from when Obi-Wan's like 12 or 13 up until that moment. Like, you know, the 20 book series spans over years. Bring in Liam Neeson, bring in Ewan McGregor. You know, those are the main two actors you'd have to pay. I mean, it would be pricey, but having them come in, read, you know, however many, even if you don't want to do 20 books, cut it down to 10, have them read like 10 audiobooks worth of stuff, like, you know, 20 hours, like, or however many, like, whatever, like 50 hours worth of content, like have them come in, read that, read their stuff and do that, because the Jedi Apprentice series is so good. And if they would adapt it, if they would adapt it to audiobooks, I think people would love it. What, even setting aside Liam Neeson and Ewan McGregor, like that would be, now that would be amazing. But if you just make that audiobook series in general, I think people would respond so well to it, just because, you know, it gives Obi-Wan's like backstory. Like there's moments where Obi-Wan, you know, basically is so in love with this girl he's on this planet with, and Qui-Gon's basically telling him, you need to like come with me if you're going to actually be a Jedi. And Obi-Wan actually draws his lightsaber on Qui-Gon.
Oh my
and
gosh.
You know, you have a moment where they about throw down. Like, so you have different things like that. And then you have all kinds of like bonding moments of where, you know, Obi-Wan basically forces himself into Qui-Gon's life and like helps, you know, basically saves Qui-Gon a couple times, and Qui-Gon basically gains respect for him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so there's so many good moments and character development for Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon's relationship. And I think if they would do that series, even if they would cut it down to like 10 audiobooks or however they would split it up, I think it would be an amazing, amazing series to do. And especially, you know, as I said, if I'm playing with house money, if you bring in Ewan McGregor and Liam Neeson, if we don't get Liam Neeson in the Kenobi show, which I hope we do, but if we don't get him in that, like, just bring him in for an audiobook, bring him in, read lines for a week and keep it moving, give him his paycheck and keep it moving. Like, yeah. I think it would be amazing.
They can shell out $20 million for Liam. We'll give you $1 million a book, you know, $1 million a book. We got you. And actually I'm looking at the Rising Force stuff right now on the computer, and I read that book cover to cover, and that cover is so cool because it's Chris, you have to look this up. We'll have to send it to you. But it's young Obi-Wan with his lightsaber in front of him, and he's floating it. And Obi-Wan or Qui-Gon and Yoda are on the right each side of him, and it looks badass. Like, that should be a video game, facts. But the entire setup, it's so cool because like there's a linear story within that whole series, because like Obi-Wan, or wasn't Qui-Gon looking for like his old apprentice or something?
Yeah. Huh. So basically, you know, you know, early on in the first book, Qui-Gon's looking for an apprentice because he's always wanted to be just this loner Jedi, and the council's pretty much like, no, if you're going to be high ranked, you know, you have to have an apprentice. Like, you can't just go solo and, you know, basically be, you know, be like, hey, I'm Qui-Gon, I can do what I want. Like, you know, you have to have an apprentice. So Qui-Gon basically is like reluctantly like, ugh, I guess I'll look for somebody. And, you know, it's cool because a lot of the ways it works out, like Obi-Wan in the first book or two, he doesn't even go with Qui-Gon or anything. He actually, like, since he's getting too old, he basically gets assigned, he gets basically kicked out of the Jedi Order because he gets assigned, you know, in that time period in Star Wars, I'm not sure like current canon, but like when a Jedi would leave the Order, the Jedi would basically assign them a job. Like, you know, you get job placement basically. So like Obi-Wan, it's work really cool. Work release. So like Milton said, there's this story that's going on. It's cool. And they have it woven throughout all like 18 or 20 books. So like, you know, Obi-Wan gets assigned to this like farming world, and he, you know, he's there. And then like in the second book, Qui-Gon, you know, ends up, you know, dealing with these criminals, and the criminals track back to the same farming world where Obi-Wan is. And they somehow, you know, end up bumping into each other. Like, so you have these moments all throughout the series where they're like, you know, having moments like that. And then Obi-Wan basically starts trying to track Qui-Gon down and basically is like, please let me be your apprentice. Like, you have all kinds of great moments like that. And the best part about it, in my opinion, is, you know, you don't really deal with Sith, because they still stick to that whole thing of like Sith Lords not being around. So like there's scenes in that series where I would love to hear it like played out in audio. Like there's a scene where the transport ship Qui-Gon's on is getting like hijacked by these pirates. And the funny thing is, Chris, like the way you describe like the Nile, like, they're pretty much really similar to these pirates that are in this book. And like, you know, they're hijacking this ship and they go in there and it's cool because like Qui-Gon's trying to fight them and they have these like vibro axe shield things like where they can just fight right along with Qui-Gon and, you know, fight him off and stuff. And like you have all these and Qui-Gon almost gets killed actually by them. Like, you know, they don't even have the force or anything. Like, I would love to see those type of scenes played out because, you know, they're so, you know, they're so, so many of those books are so fleshed out like that. Like, I think it would be such a good series for Star Wars to make, you know, especially since they're embracing these Legends materials, like come out with this series. And I guarantee you, like I said, if you cut it down to even 10 books, people will buy it. Like,
man, so maybe after the High Republic, that could be the next big progress for the books going forward.
Yeah.
But man, oh man, yeah, that's a really good in-depth analysis of those books because, you know, even though they're like, what, middle grade, young reader novels, like, seems like there's a lot of good stuff in there regardless, which, hey, a lot of times if they are for an all-ages group, you can still get some great, great content.
I would say those books have a real similar feel to the Lost Stars book, if I had to compare them.
Okay, cool.
Real similar feel to those.
Nice. Yeah, so that is going to do it for us here at Outer Rim Transmission number 23. Let us know what your favorite Star Wars audiobook, audio drama, radio drama is in the comment section down below. And also chime in on your thoughts for Book of Boba Fett, as well as the new stuff coming out with Star Wars in the next couple of weeks. We would like to know, and we would certainly like to chat with you guys about that. So as far as us being here, of course you can catch us every Friday night at 9 o'clock Eastern approximately, and the video does go up on the podcast feeds around Monday morning, the following Monday morning. So you can go ahead and listen to us on Spotify, on Google Play, on all those platforms there. I'll throw it over to Ben. You can follow him at Real Ben Maynard on Twitter. You can follow Milton on Milton Weber 7 on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at, of course, Star Raptor. Videos I have coming out, I have a couple of movie reviews that are done recently on the channel, and I also will be seeing Shang-Chi this weekend, so very much looking forward to that, and I'll let you guys know when that review is up. So you guys have anything to plug for this week besides your usual Madden spiel? And
nothing too crazy. Just the typical weekend for me: Madden and watching sports, and you know, consuming Star Wars content as always. You know, as we said, Star Wars is like a daily part of all of our lives. Like you know, there's not a day we're going without it. And also, one thing to throw out there. For people that check out the podcast, a lot of the times our podcast actually uploads at midnight Eastern time on Sunday night into Monday morning. So like if you go to work early Monday morning, like at 2 or 3 a.m., the podcast should be up.
Yeah.
Just to throw that out there.
Yeah, it has been pretty timely recently before it wasn't that way. But so go ahead and check out your podcast feeds for that. Do subscribe, and I know Apple allows you to leave a review. So please do leave a review for us. It would be greatly appreciated. It would help us get out to more people. More people, you know, the podcast will be more visible. And go ahead, share it around with your friends. If you have a Star Wars buddy, you could always go ahead and refer this to them. And that'd be very greatly appreciated. So yeah, that is good though for me, for Ben, and for Milton. Until next time. End transmission.